Amanya gange bampita chomwendo Annette Katsime mbera wanevuanuka mu Kachiri sub county Kachiri district sub county Wakiso district nze ndi mulimi era kyekino ekibanja ekyange kya mwami kyaffe nga famire nenze kwenimira.
Welcome to Climate Talk Uganda. I'm Josephine Karungi and this is the acronym-free podcast about all things climate. And as promised, in this episode, I am following up on something our previous guest, Agnes Chirabo, said. You might remember we were talking about food security and her experiences around the country, speaking with farmers and seeing gender roles play out when it comes to land use. And she said, the problem is when you're working with communities to make changes, often it's men who own the land, not women. And women can easily be evicted or have the land they depend on sold from under their feet. So in today's episode, I want to find out more about this particular part of the climate change equation, women, land, and how who owns a plot of land can affect how well women and families respond, if at all, to climate change. And we're starting with Chomhendo Annette Katusime, who you heard at the top of this episode. She is a farmer, and her story is a familiar one. She spoke to our videographer, William Sechiranda.
Amanya okay. Gange, bampita Chomhendo Annette Katusime, mbera wanevuanuka, mu Kachiri sub county.
She says her name is Chomhendo Annette Katsime. She stays in Buanuka, Kakiri sub-county, Wakiso district. She's a farmer, and this is her plot. It's for her husband, and it's for them as family. And this is where she farms.
Ah, ebange erise mavega, wanenge wafe Buanuka. Etakali noliali lijimu nyo. Kubange nkuba yali nyingi etaka ngera ligonda nayo okumanyanga embere ekyuse etaka likaluba.
In the recent past, the soils were very fertile and they had enough rain, which made their soils so soft. However, this has changed. The soils are now hard to cultivate due to very little rainfall. Back then, the rain was a lot. However, they've realized that cutting down trees has contributed to the reduction in the amounts of rainfall they receive.
Emabegeri enkuba yali etonya nyingi. Naye ate ekireese ekyo tugenza okiraba nti okutema emiti. Kati the environment is now plain in that the rain is less because of these trees help in the
The land is bare. People are cutting trees for charcoal, timber and other purposes. The trees bring moisture, which is very good to plant, but they no longer get this moisture and shed. The weather patterns have changed. The soils are no longer fertile, hence crops struggle to grow. They are forced to spend on manure to improve the soil fertility, which is expensive.
Annette
says she uses organic inputs, and besides those, she also digs water trenches in the garden to help retain water during the rainy days. She also says that she sprays her land and crops, but she's aware of the dangers this has.
Commercial produce. Etaka lya mwami era twaligula nga tuli babiri. Era kubanga mwami nababanga yaguze era liba lyaffe nga family nange liba lyange.
This land belongs to her husband and she continues to say that she regards it as family land.
Era mwecho chindi mitinga because omusajja aba tayagala yo emiti, aba ayagala yo simbe emmere, emmere gy'osobola okugyamu, ayagala ekintu ekyanguwa, ate emmere aba ayagala obeere n'emmere nga tekuggwako, togula nti ate mugende mugule emmere. Kati yo emiti,
she gets limited when she intends to plant trees on this land because her husband prefers food crops that have a short harvesting period to sell and get money. She says that the husband doesn't like planting trees. However, she should have planted trees if she had the opportunity to improve the environment. If she had her own piece of land, she says she would have planted trees, at least 20 trees on 5 acres. That this is very important because it's a good mechanism to combat climate change.
Singamba deneta kalyange, nandibadde nsobola okusimba emiti. Kubanga emiti gino ne wamanyi namu mutaka nti oba yika 5 nyinamu emiti nga 20 kibadde kinyamba lwansoma.
If she had her own piece of land, she says she would have planted trees, at least 20 trees on 5 acres. That this is very important because it's a good mechanism to combat climate change. The land gets shed, it rains when trees are planted.
And it gives us a clear illustration of the interconnectedness of the factors that she's dealing with. Changes to the soil, changes to tree cover, the need to use more fertilizers and pesticides, and the differences of opinion about how the land should best be used. When you want to invest in trees, the questions of ownership and security of tenure can come up. Caro Kayanja is Senior Program Officer focused on women's land and property rights with the Uganda Community-Based Association for Women and Children Welfare. She speaks to how land access plays a critical role in how women can play a role in mitigating the effects of climate change.
Being able to undertake climate change action requires a sense of security. For example, if someone says, let's preserve our trees, our forests and everything. Where I come from, you can't plant, for example, indigenous trees on a piece of land that you don't own. So telling communities to undertake climate change action requires them to own that land, to feel safe on that land, to actually feel like they are investing in a piece of land. That is why land is that important. I feel like there is no action that is going to actually be undertaken that doesn't really need land. And when you talk about communities that depend on farming, on agriculture and everything, it becomes a personal thing. You're telling me to plant trees, and we want to remind communities that when we are talking about trees, we want to encourage communities to think of indigenous trees. So you cannot plant an indigenous tree on a piece of land where you actually know that anytime soon you're going to be evicted, right? You cannot talk about soil preservation, biodiversity, everything where you know this land doesn't actually belong to me. So it's a personal thing.
Carol, we've had this conversation with previous people that were in this studio about how climate change affects women differently from how it affects men. But I'm always keen to hear other people's perspectives. So I'll ask you the same question. Does climate change affect women differently from how it affects men?
Yes.
How?
Over 80% of women, 75 to 80% of women provide farm labor. They engaged in agriculture. However, where they are actually growing food, they don't own that piece of land. Actually, in our country here, statistics shows that about 25% of women own land in their own right. So when we talk about the effects of climate change, we're already talking about a group that doesn't have control over even the key productive resources for mitigation, adaptation, and resilience when it comes to climate change. Because when we go with all our innovation, talking about, for example, afforestation, talking about improved farming mechanisms and everything, the question is, on whose piece of land?
The most recent person interviewed actually said that you know why they call women abachala.
Bachala bachala. Yeah. So the question is on whose piece of land? It's kind of where am I investing? Will I even? Because we have seen women who actually put in their effort, grow food on a piece of land, and their husbands just sell it. Like, your husband just sells it. Now, for example, that climate change action actually requires investment. Sometimes you need to put in resources, right? To actually, for example, the improved farming mechanisms that we're actually talking about, they need a bit of investment. On whose piece of land are you actually investing?
Have you, and I'm sure you have, but I'd love an example of when you've seen all of this very practically. A woman you've met in a community and this is her reality.
It may not be like really an example I've interfaced with, but I was invited to speak to a group of women farmers by an organization. And this organization supports these women farmers to grow maize. And they grow maize and then this organization buys it from them, kind of provides the market. There is already market for maize. But then they had challenges with the men, because in their initial partnership with the women, they actually didn't think they needed the men. But these women are actually growing maize on land that legally belongs to their husbands, and the husbands are not in the picture. And so there was a challenge of the men selling the maize and everything. And I want to imagine that there are so many communities out there where a woman goes, buys seedlings or buys seeds, plants them, and then their husbands just sell them. And for purposes of climate change action and initiatives that people are undertaking, already we are talking about a deprived group of people. They need to get a bit of security, a sense of security, that at the end of the day, it will all pay off.
Tell me about this sense of security.
The sense of security looks like how if you're accessing this piece of land, how is that right of access protected? If, for example, you're married to this man, how is your ownership of this piece of land look like? And it's a combination of so many other actions, and that's where the registration bit of it comes in. How do the land documents really look like? Can you even make a decision on what to grow on this piece of land? Because you may be there encouraging women to actually, for example, plant trees, and you just wake up one day and your husband says, I've rented the land. Now, when we talk about women in this sense, we are also talking about people who feed homes. Traditionally, women feed homes. Now, if I'm not able to have food in my home, it's a problem. Whose problem is that, really? It's always a mother's problem. Somehow, it's always a mother's problem. You don't want to wake up one day and you don't have food for your children. In that challenge, men can always find alternatives. The women will be stuck with their children. And I don't know whether you've witnessed this, but even when you see like on news in these communities that have suffered floods and everything, you see that the women are holding on to their children. Like, there is that personal nurturing bit of it, the care burden that comes along with also effects of climate change. Of recent, women have stepped into the role of actually doing the actual providing, for example, education, health, and everything. So, and the women we are actually talking about really depend on their farms and everything. So if they are not able to have enough produce, they are not able to have enough income, then they are not able to provide even the other basic services for their children. So the care burden that actually comes along with the climate change is what actually makes the effects very worse for women than for men.
Atoluse wechilete echo. Zeshendo woza. Abami. Simayilu wachia abami olusi. Abami mwa baleta wovutakanya. kubanga bwetugula ettaka olusi tuguliramu n'emiti kati nga wano twagulira w'emiti.
Sometimes men are the source of disagreements, Chomhendo continues to say. For example, when they buy land, it comes with the trees and men are quick to get rid of them. You find that sometimes the men don't want trees and yet women really like them and find them valuable.
So decisions tuzikola fembi na yate emu bwegana oku that too if you fail to decide.
She says that they both make decisions. However, sometimes her decision is not exactly what the husband prefers. He often says he will purchase the land and another piece of land somewhere else so that they can plant trees. And Annette says this makes decision making sometimes hard, and she often has to agree with the decision to avoid disagreements.
Chomhendo Annette Katusime speaking to us in Buwanuka. Let's circle back to Carol Kayanja speaking to how we can use our customary structures to engage communities.
So first of all, when we talk about customary laws and structures, we are talking about things that communities hold on to passionately. And we deal with this in our programs for land rights, and we know for sure that when you go to communities, they really, they are customs, they are elders, our chiefs. So these are things that are really pertinent, people are very passionate about in their communities. And so it gives us a starting point for all this. How can we actually use, for example, the customary structures to champion some of our interventions? Because, for example, here in Buganda, when the Katikiro said, "Emwanyi terimba," you see, yeah. It's like coffee a wave. Coffee is the in thing. So everyone plants coffee because the Katikiro said, "Emwanyi tekolachi terimba." So there is that... there is a starting point. There is what we can leverage on, what people actually believe in. You know that people actually believe in their elders, chiefs, even more than the minister. Because the elder is closer to them, speaks their same language, feels like they understand the community. So we can leverage on that, the respect, the trust that people have in championing some of our interventions. I can imagine if it's a drive, for example, led by a kingdom out there, for example, Toro, and it's their leader championing, for example, planting trees. Trust me, people will plant trees because their cultural leader said so.
She says that she has oriented her daughter about tree planting. She has planted the avocado trees, and she discusses this with her.
Mugamba, you know what? Do what they teach you at school. How do they teach you? They teach you to plant trees. How do they plant trees? Katinakwa tachike donachi tekao. Katwechamera, she came up. Nagenda. She asked me, "Mommy, where can I put this avocado tree?" Nemulagao. And she went and planted it. Katichicho chikula.
Chomhendo continues to say that the nights are usually hot due to hot days, and they are still spared because they have several trees around them, although they are not on their farm, they are in their neighborhood. She says she's happy to see the neighbors using their land to plant trees. Her household gets really hot, and it gets hotter at night, and they feel that the sun is very close to the house.
So tulinga abagamba nti omusana guli kugundi ku nyumba ku ceiling. Even during the day is hot, that's why we are outside. Tubera outside during the day. Kati ekiro ero ino kwebaka. Nebera so hot, tosa kwebika.
Annette's conviction that trees are a vital tool for fighting climate change raises a host of questions. So in the next episode, we take a deep dive into agroforestry and how forestry and agriculture interact. It's a fascinating area that's on the cutting edge of climate adaptation. How effective is tree planting really? How do we measure whether increasing tree cover will enable communities to better withstand climate shocks? And how do we square the circle of protecting the forests we still have while enabling communities to make a living from those same forests? Join me. In the meantime, Drop us a line anytime, climatetalkpod@gmail.com. I'm Josephine Karunji, and this is Climate Talk Uganda.